Amen and amen. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn to James. Turn to James chapter 4, where we continue to press on. I want to try to take a few moments to, this will be like pre-sermon. As we celebrate 16 years at Lagos, I just want to, even as we have sung, as we have prayed, how many of you have a hard time? There are certain places you just don't go mentally because of the motions that might, that any of y'all like that sort of keep some things cordoned off. And so Stephanie and I did some talking this week, and I was like, man, I don't even know if I can talk about that. But as we celebrate 16 years at Lagos, I have profound gratitude for being part of this church family. I have profound gratitude. It's one of the greatest blessings of my life to be part of Lagos. I'm thankful for every Lagos member. I'm thankful for all that God has done and hopeful for all that He will do in the future. I have thought back to that first Sunday over at the Westgate Inn and just stand amazed at what God has done. We are just on the receiving end. We are amazingly blessed. We have received much from the Lord. I also think about, there wasn't 16 years ago, but there's a growing Lagos contingent in heaven. So I have, I sort of keep track, I do, of all those saints, young and old, that are home, and Lord, may we run the race well. I would say, to God be the glory, great things He has done. And we sing that, in great our rejoicing in Jesus, His Son. So, amen. I love you. I love you all. Thank God for you. And so, James chapter 4, I'll see if we can like shift gears and keep, we'll keep a lid on the motions, or it won't be pretty. It'll be slobbering and snotting and all that kind of stuff. So, James chapter 4, verse 11. Why is the sin of slander so serious? You say, here we are on the 16th anniversary. Couldn't you have found something to talk about? And James, I think, has, boy, this is part and parcel of what we need to hear, because we aspire to be a church. We are a blood-bought bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we aspire to be a church that's abounding and growing in health and holiness and purity. And James is so practical and so good. So James 4, just two verses. So you might think lunch will come soon. I think it will. It won't be too late. But James 4, verse 11. If you're able, would you stand while I read our passage for this morning as we consider, why is the sin of slander so serious? Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We testify that it is true. It's true whether we testify to that or not. It is true. It is infallible. It's inerrant, sufficient. It's profitable for our teaching, our reproof, our correction, our training in righteousness. And we need all those things. Lord, we boast only in Jesus. We are weak. You are strong. We are sinful. You are holy. We stand amazed in your presence, Lord, at your grace. We have such gratitude as we count our blessings today. We pray that your Spirit, Lord, He is here. He is present in us, third person of the Trinity. We pray the Spirit of God would powerfully launch the Word of God into the hearts of the people of God. We pray that we would hear and do according to your word. We pray that we would believe this gospel, that we would love Jesus, we will trust Jesus, we will obey Jesus, and we will follow Jesus. God, may that hymn, that beautiful hymn that we sing, "May We Surrender All." Lord, we pray that you would be pleased with your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Why is the sin of slander so serious? And you might be saying, well, you don't see slander in there. And it is in there. Trust me, it's there. And James, the good teacher, how many of you would say, hey, James, we've talked about sins of speech enough. Can we move on? You know, maybe we go to a different topic. So he comes back to a theme that he has covered before, the importance of Christ honoring speech, and he gives us another warning against sins of the tongue, sins of speech. I want you to think about some of the nursery rhymes we sing. Some of them are pretty dark. Listen to this. I have some reservations about this one. Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. How many of y'all know that one? It's horribly dark. It's from the Great Plague in London in 1665. And when you all fall down, there's people falling down dead from the plague. I don't know the wisdom of having the children sing that. Do you? Some of you probably didn't know that. Ring around the rosy. Yes, from the plague. But there's one good one that comes to mind this morning in light of today's passage. Listen to this. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little tongue, what you say. James, I think, shaped the hymn writer's beautiful little rhyme. It's a theme of Scripture, these sins of speech. And by the way, in particular, the sin of slander. Why is it so serious? Listen to what Moses says in Leviticus. You shall not go about, what God says in his word through Moses, you shall not go about, Leviticus 19, verse 16, you shall not go about as a slanderer among your people, and you are not to act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Look, we're not to slander because who God is. Verse 17, you shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but shall not incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Why is the sin of slander so serious? And we'll see is antithetical to who God is. It's antithetical to how God loves us, and it's antithetical to how we should be viewing our neighbor. This theme of James, I mentioned to you, if you turn back, James 1, 26. So let me just show you some of the running or reminders of this running theme, James 1, 26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, remember that proof's in the pudding. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. James chapter 3, verse 2. By the way, this shows we're going to need to be repenters. We all stumble in many ways. We're a bunch of stumblers in Christ, Christ-honoring stumblers. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, tongue, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. And he talks about the bits and the horses. And then if you go down to verse 5, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. So he just keeps talking to us about our speech. And by the way, how many of you would testify with me to say honoring Christ in our speech is a challenge? It's a battle against sin, the world, our flesh, the devil. Is often one step forward and two back to have Christ honoring speech. I like what Blaise Pascal said. He said, I hold it to be a fact that if all persons knew what each said of the other, there would not be four friends in the world. James, we say amen to you. These things ought not to be. We want to honor Christ with our speech. So why is the sin of slander so serious? Well, number one, because pride is the root. Because pride is the root. Look at James 4, verse 6. God gives a greater grace. Praise the Lord. And then we get this bookend of how God views pride and the importance of humility. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. And then we get to verse 11, our passage for today. Do not speak against one another, brethren. So this is a warning. By the way, it's not hypothetical. I don't think at all James is just saying, you know, they told me I need to, for my letter to go in the New Testament, I need a certain number of words. I'll say a little bit more about speaking. No. God inspired every letter, every word. And James, I am convinced, is addressing real problems in the churches. The churches are being divided and damaged because people are speaking against one another. So this root of this, why would we speak against others? Well, the warning against pride in the Christian life and this exhortation to humility, and the key, I believe, is slander is a sin whereby we seek to elevate ourselves. We speak against others. We're seeking to elevate ourselves by denigrating someone else. Right? We're trying to rise higher, and somehow in our mind, it's going to make us feel like we're higher if we push them lower. Words have weight. We know this to be true. Each of us have vivid memories of hurtful things we have said. By the way, that's usually not what I think of first. You know, if I said, hey, let's think about speaking against one another. If we go, okay, everybody come up and like testify to that, most of us are going to think first because we carry the scars. We're like, I can tell you where I was standing when so-and-so said X, Y, Z. We have vivid memory of some slanderous things, hurtful things that's been said about us, to us. But probably a good starting point about thinking about our words having weight is each of us have vivid memories, should have, of hurtful things we have said. We're repentant of those. And look at this command, verse 11, do not. It's a command, just ongoing. Do not speak against one another, brethren. Speak against. If you're in the NIV this morning, that speak against is legacy standard. Slander is what speak against, to criticize. If you're in New King James, ESV, do not speak evil of. What does that mean? Well, here, this will help us if we consider this. Pride at the root of slander. Speak against. Do not speak against one another, brethren. Well, speak against is critical speech about others. To talk another down. I like the way that is phrased. Usually behind the individual's back. That just blesses your heart, doesn't it? Unhelpful repeating of stories about the wrongs and offenses of others. Unhelpful. Behind the back. Unhelpful repeating of stories about the wrongs and offenses of others. Talking about someone in a way that is unkind, unhelpful, or untrue. To slander or to defame. I like what Jerry Bridges in Respectable Sins says about this sin. And you might be thinking, well, do Christians slander? Listen to what Bridges says. But do Christians slander? Yes, we do. We slander when we ascribe wrong motives to people, even though we can't see their hearts or know their particular circumstances. We slander when we say another believer is not committed, when he or she does not practice the same spiritual disciplines we do, or engage in the same Christian activities we engage in. We slander when we misrepresent another person's position on a subject without first determining what that person's position is. You know, that never happens on social media, does it? No. We slander when we blow out of proportion another person's sin and make that person appear to be more sinful than he or she really is. Listen to this first, because pride is the root. The motive behind slander is to gain an advantage in some way over another person. It's this devilish desire in me, in you, to denigrate, to tear down, to harm people. I often used to say this in my business training, and I've thought of it a lot this week. When you're leading people, you know, we would train leaders, stay out of the fog. feelings, opinions, guesses. You know, we're speaking about someone's, well, I feel like, you know, you're getting over in the neighborhood of slander. It's my opinion. It's my guess. Well, pride is the root in this tearing down, harming people. Our speech is, and by the way, this is an important reminder. So it's like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just be the quiet game. I'm never going to speak. No, our speech is like a dashboard gauge. It shows what's going on in our heart. The psalmist said, listen how strong this is. Psalm 101, verse 5. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. Well, I think, first of all, do not speak. We get this command, do not stop it. Do not speak against one another, brethren. Well, because pride is at the root of that, and when we do that, we're standing at enmity with God. God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. We're elevating ourselves and trying to bring someone else down. Number one, pride is the root. Second, because it is a sin against the family. Because it is a sin against the family. This is so amazing. What has he called us recently? Go back to verse 8. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you two-faced, you double-minded. But look what he says in verse 11. Do not speak against one another. It's one anothering. One another. What are we one another with? Well, we have Christ, and because of that, we're now one another. We're brothers and sisters. God is our, you won't find this in the Old Testament, God is our Father. We call out Father. He's our Father, and so now you're my brothers, you're my sisters. Do not speak, look at this, against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. It's a sin against the family, fellow church members. Think about how damaging slander, speaking against, critical speech, talking someone down. Think about the body of Christ, behind someone's back, repeating stories about the wrongs and offense of others, talking to someone in a way that is unkind, unhelpful, or untrue, to slander, to defame. So that, do not do that among you that have Christ in common. I grew up watching some, but listening to a lot. I remember boxing with my dad. Any of y'all watch boxing? So I grew up watching. I started saying Jakin, Georgia. That's the closest so-called town. We were in the middle of nowhere in Jakin. And I can remember sitting out there. You go sit in your daddy's Datsun B210 and listen to a whole 15-round heavyweight fight on AM radio. You'll be there a while. But I was hanging in there because daddy was doing it. Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran. Remember Roberto? I love that. No Moss. He'd had enough. He'd got beaten by Sugar Ray. Go look it up. You non-boxers, amazing. Leon Spinks, Evander, the real deal Holyfield. What a name. Mike Tyson, though. I've thought about Mike Tyson with this passage this week. Do not speak against one another, brethren. Man, by the way, speaking of Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield, you know what he did? You know what Tyson did? Bit a piece of his ear off. It's crazy. But there's a point in me telling you this. Mike Tyson, he was a fascinating boxer. He would knock out fighters in a matter of seconds. Listen to this. On July 26th, 1986, 30 seconds. That's how long it took Tyson to knock down Marvis Frazier with brutal uppercuts, prompting referee Joe Cortez to stop the fight. It was the quickest knockout of Tyson's career. Listen to this. Generally speaking, Tyson wasted little time with his victims. He recorded 22 of his 44 knockouts in the first round. Here's what Tyson would do. Mike Tyson would knock you out fast. And you know what? I think an apt description, do not speak against one another, brethren. How many of you have met people, Christian people, that have been knocked out in church because they were spoken against? I'm telling you, it happens. By the way, I always wondered about that. We never did a pay-per-view thing, but I don't know how you feel about a pay-per-view thing. What does a pay-per-view cost? Like $100? I don't know. What's a pay-per-view? Whatever it is, say $50. And then the guy gets knocked out in 30 seconds. Like, well, you don't even get to see much. But that is an apt illustration because our tongues have amazing knockout power. Do not speak against one another, brethren. Look at this. Brethren, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother. So it's a sin against the family. So if I think it's a gospel thing. We'll get there on point number five. We're not seeing Jesus rightly. We're not seeing ourselves rightly. We're not seeing others rightly. Second, because it's a sin against the family. Third, because it puts us in a place of criticizing Scripture. Because it puts us in a place of criticizing Scripture. Look at verse 11 again. Do not speak. So here's the command, this ongoing command. Don't be slandering. Don't be defaming one another in the body. In the body. And by the way, he's going to show us it applies even to our neighbors, but especially in the body. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother. Now look at this. Speaks against the law. Speaks against God's word and judges the law. Why does it speak? Why if I slander someone, I don't think I'm criticizing Scripture. I'm just over here gossiping about that guy. No. I'm standing contradictory to Scripture and I'm condemning Scripture because God said I'm to love my brother. And I'm judging my brother. And so I'm saying, God, your word, think I'll pass. It puts us at a dangerous place. Think about this. When we do that, and what like James is saying, it's almost like James could have come in and said, hey, you know, some of y'all might be talking about each other. We don't need to do that. But James paints a picture and he just leads us in and said, hey, don't speak against one another. We're like, guilty. God, forgive us. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother judges his brother. And there he goes. Look how serious it is. Speaks against the law and judges the law. So it puts us, you know, I remember in a professor vividly in seminary standing, he was our Sunday school teacher too, and he was talking about we stand under Scripture, right? We're under the authority of Scripture. Well, when I'm speaking against a brother, I'm standing over Scripture. I know you said that whole love my brother, love my neighbor, pass. And so what a profound statement to give light to the seriousness of our sin. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. And you're in a dangerous place. If you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. Hey, are you a doer of God's word? No, I'm a judge of it. I don't think we want to be there. And so we're called to be doers of God's word. Turn back to James 2, verse 8. It's that same theme that's running. If, however, James 2, verse 8, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the Scripture, well, what am I supposed to do toward the people in my life? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. Well, let me tell you, the opposite of loving someone, my neighbor, as myself, is to speak against, to tear them down, to defame them. And so this great commandment, we're to love God and love our neighbors. When we speak against our brothers and sisters, we, by our actions, are declaring God's word is not good. It contradicts our testimony as those who love Jesus and treasure God's word. Fourth, why is the sin of slander so serious? Because it reveals we are trying to sit in God's place as judge. Because it reveals we are trying to sit in God's place as judge. Look at let's go back to verse 11, but the point is in verse 12. Let's get a running start. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. So, by the way, I'll play the bad guy in this. So let's say I come up to you and I'm speaking against a brother. You know, wouldn't this be a loving, gracious way to like humbly say, man, you're saying you know better than God and His Word? That'd be a good Paul's point, wouldn't it? He speaks against the law and judges the law, but if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. Let's get to our fourth point, this reality that it reveals we're trying to sit in God's place as judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge. I like what James does. He peels back the camouflage and the all around that we got. Like, all I did was share some information. That's all I did. That's all right. We will take sin and we will domesticate it and we'll pull it up close. No. You don't want to do that. That's speaking against God's word, and that's judging God's word. And then it gets even worse on this fourth point. There's only one lawgiver and judge. Boy, this leads us to Jesus, doesn't the gospel? There's only one lawgiver and there's only one judge. And so we're trying to, it's not our place to judge, and we're putting ourselves in a place of standing in authority over God. Hey, yeah, I like just sometimes just speak. It's like, God, if you would get out of that chair, I'm the judge, move over, big boy. We wouldn't say that. You're like, Lord help. That is an illustration. We would never say that. But James said, no, that's what we're doing. There's only one lawgiver and judge. The one, by the way, boy, this gets our attention. Listen, church, there's one lawgiver and there is one judge. The one, and let me tell you, this is good news. He is able to save, and this is terrifying news. He is able to destroy. Well, we better make sure we're on the right side of Jesus. Fourth, it reveals we're trying to sit in God's place as judge. Fifth, and finally, because it's opposite to everything gospel. It's antithetical to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's opposite gospel living. Look back at verse 12. I love how he ends this. And you, man, it's penetrating. In verse 12, there's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. Boy, we need to know what his terms are, don't we? One lawgiver, one judge. We don't sit in the judge's chair or the lawgiver's chair. He is the one who is able to save and to destroy. But look what he does here at the end. Who are you? It's almost like, did you ever grow up? I love some of the things you hear growing up. Did you ever have your parents tell you getting too big for your britches? I think James saying in a nice way, you getting way too big for your britches when you try. Who are you? Doesn't that just put us in our humble place? Who are you? What is it? Did somebody go and like take somebody else's wife? Did they like murder somebody? No. We just got down the hall over there. And we just shared a prayer request about a brother. Just floated that out there. Y'all pray for, if I pick any name, there's so many names, then he'll be like, I'm thinking a shot at you. What's a name? Somebody that doesn't go here. I don't know. Anyway, pick a name. And we just lay that out there. Yeah. Just keep that between us. Just thought I'd share. No, James said, stop it. A slander. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against God's laws, judges the law, and our job is not to be judged, but to be doer and to be in our humble place to the lawgiver and judge and to bow before him, to be putting off pride, knowing he is able to save and he saves forever those who are in Christ. But I want to tell you something. If I want to go down that road, I'm not being like Jesus when I judge mine. Who are you who judge your neighbor? We're not seeing when we speak against a brother, we are forgetting the gospel. We're not seeing God rightly. We're not viewing ourselves rightly. We're ignoring our sinfulness. We're ignoring our guilt. We're ignoring God's grace. I thought this was good. Unknown writer, he says, I was in Japan with a friend since gone to be with the Lord. We were walking down the street in Yokohama in conversation. The name of a mutual friend came up, and I said something unkind about that person. A sarcastic, nasty put-down. My older friend stopped, turned, and faced me until his face was nearly touching my own. With slow, deliberate words, he said, Gordon, a man who says he loves God wouldn't talk like that about a friend. He could have put a knife into my ribs. The pain wouldn't have been any less. I hurt because he had me. He had done what a prophet does. But I bet there have been 10,000 times in the last 20 years I've been saved from making a jerk of myself. Whenever I've been tempted to say something unkind about a brother or sister, I hear my friend's voice once again saying, Gordon, a man who says he loves God wouldn't talk like that about a friend. Well, that's gospel living, isn't it? If Jesus is in me, I want to speak like Jesus. Well, speaking of gospel living, we want to be running from anything that's antithetical to the gospel. Let's summarize. Told you, you are on time. Amen. So he's not done, though. I'm landing. All right, gospel living. Well, first of all, a clarifying point. Our passage does not mean we do not deal with sin in the church. Matthew 18, 1 Corinthians 5. So it's not saying, hey, if we got somebody walking in public unrepentant sin, we don't speak it. That's not what this means, okay? That's not, and we have the framework in Scripture. So our passage does not mean we do not deal with sin in the church. He's talking about, by the way, that speak against, critical speech about others, to criticize, to tear down, to talk another down, usually behind the individual's back. Unhelpful repeating of stories about the wrongs and offenses of others. Doesn't that just bless you? Some people get together and talk about your wrongs. That sounds like a party you want to go to, doesn't it? Talking about someone in a way that is unkind, unhelpful, untrue, to slander, to defame. So, second, think carefully before we speak. Think carefully before we speak. Listen to what Christ said. I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Think carefully before we speak. I like what Stulak said about three ways what are ways we speak against one another, criticize? I thought this was insightful. Three ways Christians are often quick to criticize: judging the motives behind others' words or actions in church business. Judging how others spend money. Third, judging how others are raising their children. By the way, I had a lot more convictions about that before I had any, didn't you? I mean, how that was going to go. You know, y'all got it figured out, or maybe y'all humble too. I'll tell you what they need to do. No, what we need to do is shut up. Can I say that in a humble, Christ-honoring way? I think that's what James is saying. Amen. Think carefully. I'm guilty, guilty, guilty so many times. Think carefully before we speak. Third, when we sin in this area. Remember, he said we're going to all be stumbling in our speech. When we sin in this area, walk in the gospel. Jesus is victory. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent to those that we've sinned against. But that prescription that we had last week in James 7 through 10. Command number one, submit to God. Command two, resist the devil. Command three, draw near to God. The promise he will draw near. Command four, cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Be miserable. Mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be, so put on the gospel. I like what one writer said. When tempted to gossip, breathe through your nose. When tempted to gossip, try that. Breathe through your nose. Like, I think I'm going to say something about, you can't what? You'll get it later. Try it. Go try it in the bathroom, okay? To yourself, not to others. All right, third, make it right with brothers and sisters we have spoken against. Make it right. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. So if we have spoken against one another, brethren, we need to go back to that brother, that sister, and we need to repent and make it right. And fourth and finally, I think that's on the sinning side. On the other side, refuse to listen to slander. Refuse to listen. What if when somebody brings us and we just say, just sort of like that illustration, a man who says he loves God wouldn't talk like that about a friend. So refuse to listen to slander. And by the way, keep this in mind, one who will gossip to you will also gossip what? About you. So when we've done that, we need to be quick to repent. Two verses that pack a punch. Is Jesus in there? Jesus has delivered us from this kind of living. And by the way, that's not who we are, but James humbles us because he says, based on his clear instruction that we still stumble, this is going to be something we have to lean in and lean on Jesus all of our days. And by the way, I questioned on, okay, here we are on the 16th anniversary, and we talk about, here's what I think we need to talk about. We need to talk about one of the ways, based on what we have here, that we love Jesus is very carefully, joyfully loving each other. And one of the things least loving to each other is speaking against. I mean, we read that and it's just, you don't go like, oh, I had no idea, slander. You go, I get that. But boy, we got that tendency. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother judges a brother. Speaks against the law and judges the law. You judge the law, you're a doer. You're not a doer, I should say, but a judge of it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for passages that convict us. And Lord, we all could give many examples of where we have spoken against and we have been spoken against. And Lord, we know that's wrong. We know it's damaging. Lord, we know it's knocked us out before and we've knocked others out. And so God, our words flow from our heart. And we pray that you would do an abiding, supernatural, divine work in our hearts. Lord, help us to greatly love one another, to tenderly live with one another, to not play fast and loose with the things we would say about one another. Lord, where we have sinned, and we pray your Spirit that he would reveal that, and we would repent. We'd be restored to sweet fellowship with you. Lord, we'd repent to those that we have harmed. We thank you that you have placed us, God, in your family, and we are brethren. We are brothers and sisters, and we've tasted sweet blessings of that over the past 16 years. Thank you for each and every member. Lord, I pray for those who are carrying scars, maybe deep scars of where they've been hurt. And Lord, pray you'd give grace. Lord, help us to be humble, to keep on decreasing and Christ keep on increasing. Lord, we pray that you would work powerfully in us. We pray that our future days as a bride of Christ would be beyond comprehension. Lord, that you would do more than we could think or imagine in and through Logos, we pray. Pray you'd work on us even in these moments, Lord, that we would not just run to the next thing, but that we would listen. We would turn from our sinful ways. And you would change us, Lord, to be more like Jesus, we pray in his name. Amen.